left off yesterday discussing the Sugya of Rabbi Kama, Dr. Aleph, the Sugya of Shulya, which is a pretty typical Sugya, but it's a critical Sugya in terms of relating to Sveik Tveikah. So again, the Gemara tells us in Rabbi Kama the following, that Shulya Shiyot Kamitzasa, a woman has a miscarriage, while the Shulya comes out on one day, so we have to pass it up that she's something, that she's a Yoledes, the ramifications we'll see in a minute, we have to pass that she's a Yoledes from day one. The Gemara says the reason why we're forced to pass it that she's the 11th because it's only something effort. Why is it only something effort? Because Efshel Mitzashir below Blah. Lu Yitzuya that it would have been Efshel Mitzashir below Blah, then we would have been able to create a Sveika. That Sufek, maybe there was no Blah at all. Intens and all the Blah, maybe it wasn't Ro Blah. So that was the Shakmatar. The Gemara basically said, at least the way Rashi maybe said, and Tosaf for sure said, that Sufek effort is also, and Sveika is Mutz. So the Mahogi's Rashi and Tosaf's. What the nafkamina? What do we choose the eleventh? Lagabi what halacha? So according to Rashi, it was a nafkamina lagabi taros, and according to Tosfos, it was a nafkamina lagabi isalabayla. Tosfos shied away from saying taros. Tosfos specifically did not learn the pshat of taros because they got into trouble with the klal of suffik tum bishus aram. Because we know that suffik tum bishus aram is tahar, and suffik tum bishus ayochel is tamei, even if it's a sveik sveik lahakel. Tach nemer halacha. So Tosfos couldn't conceive that the Gemara is talking about an inyan of tumah, because then it wouldn't follow the klal of safek echad and safek tzveik. It would follow the rules of safek tumah b'shus yochin kantis to rishus haram. So we pointed out what we wanted to extract yesterday from this Tosfos is that even though according to Tosfos the Gemara is talking about iser labayla, and we know the iser yoledes, it's like an iser nida, it's an iser kareis, and you see from Tosfos black and white that the Sveika is not there even in Issacharis. So why is that surprising? So according to the Rashba, we said it's not surprising at all. According to the Rashba, Sveika is become Ro. So there's no difference with this allowing in the birth. According to the Rambam, also Sveika is become Sveika deraisa, lakuvim deraisa. That's an interesting piece of information, that Sveika is not in Issacharis, because one could have argued, depending on the different yourselves in the Rambam, we said yesterday, one could have argued, maybe it's not true. Maybe Sveika would not work in the realm of Issacharis. There is another important part before we continue on the Sveika angle of the Sugya. There is a very, very important aspect of this Tosfos in Bava Kama, which I want to spend a little bit of time on. It's some of it will be related a little bit to Sveika and to Safek Tumah, but I'm going to come back to a little bit later in the next Sugya, but I want to talk about it as a unit in and of itself. So even if you missed what we still talked a little bit about Sveika yesterday, it's an important aspect of Tosfos. Tosfos pulled a fast one over us. Tosfos told us that you can split between Tumas Nida, Tumas Yoledes, it is the same thing, and Tumas Nida and Isra Nida. Tosfos pulled over us that you can have a woman who, based on the kolalim of Safek Tumah, is going to paskin that she is Tameya, and if she touches food, the food is going to become Tamei, and we're going to tell her you can be together with your husband. Because since there's a Sveik Sveik Ala Hokel, in theory there's a Sveik Sveik Ala Hokel, notwithstanding the fact that Sveik Sveika was no longer in the Rishon Sayachik, so Hukhas Tumah we have to pass in the Chumrah in your day, and Hukhas Nida we're going to pass in the Kul, we're going to let it be with the husband. So that's pretty wild. Did everyone realize that when you read the Tosfos? You come up with this crazy scenario that a woman who's Tameya, she's Tameya, so she's Materis. So is that a problem? Does that strike you as strange? That should have struck you as strange? Hard to the Sasri, what do you think of? So how would you attempt to understand this Tosfos? Okay, Rashi didn't say this. Tosfos the Nida is not meshuba to this because they had a whole different halach about Safek Tumah. So what's how would you approach this Tosfos? What haq would you have to ask yourself? So we know everyone knows for a fact that the woman becomes a Nida, she experiences her Iyazdam. So two things happen. Naya, and she becomes a Surah. Right? First chapter. Which is the correct diagram on the board? When a woman experiences Riyaz Dan, two completely distinct Chaloisim happen. She gets a Shem Tumana, and she becomes a Surah. Two different things happen, not related necessarily to one another, or no. The pshat is, whenever a woman gets a Riyaz Dam, so she becomes Tameya. That's the first thing that happens. And now there's a halacha, that when a woman is Tameya, So the Meila, she becomes a Siura Baila. That's the Shara that we have to ask ourselves. So Tosfos in Masechet Bava Kama is clearly taking a stand on this issue. Tosfos is assuming that one can split between
if you want to. Can you say that you can't make a split between the two and still say that they're not connected? Isn't it possible that you could still take this that it's separate, but still say that they have to come at the same time?
No, that's exactly what we're saying here. Once you say that Riyaz Zav creates two different avenues in Halacha, then you could say that the avenue of Isra has to follow the pattern of Sfeik Sfeika and something like that. There's the area of Tuma follows the pattern of something to Rishas Leof and something to Rishas Rabin. It's only if you take away the understanding that the Riyaz Zav creates the Tuma. So first you have to pass it up in Chostuma. Once you pass it in Chostuma, the Mela Isra Heter is the avenue of Chostuma. So Tosfos on the Kama seems to be a Sarinus. So this is, in fact, a very big machlokes of Rishonim that appears in Masechet Nida. The background of the Shaila is as follows. What the Gemara tells us is there's a din of a zav. A man experiences a type of ri'ah ziva, it's different than ri'ah balkari. He experiences ziva, so the halacha is, he has to count shivin akiyim. If he sees two ri'ahs of ziva, then it becomes a zav. He has to count what? He has to count Shivan Akim. So the Gemara says, what's the din? If in the middle of these 7 days he's counting clean, he experiences another Ri'ah Ziva. What's the lava? What happens? What? Let's gotta start all over again. Let's go to Steer, okay? So if he's so sad in the middle of the Shivan Akim, so he's gotta start counting all over again. Then the Gemara says, what's the din? If in the middle of the Shivan Akim with a Zav, he doesn't experience a Ziva, he has a Ri'ah carry. He comes without carry, so what's the lava? So we know Rashi Chumash tells us that Keri Lachud and Shiflet and Ziva Lachud, they're not biologically the same thing. So comes the Gemara and says that in theory the din should be that if a man experiences a Riyas Keri, the Rilash and the Kiyam, so on. Why should we care less about that? It's totally irrelevant. So the Gemara says, no, there's a special difference in Kosovo that tells us that if a man experiences a Riyas Keri, the Rilash and the Kiyam of Ziva, it's Soser, but it's not Soser Lagamre, it's Soser Yom Echad. One day gets bumped off. If he's up to day 5 and he experiences Keri today, so day 5 is a blank, is an X, but it doesn't rule the entire count, because tomorrow becomes day 5 again. That's the din. So when you see a Ziva, that's Soser Bo. When you see a Keri, that's Soser only Yom Echad. That's the din, Pasim Chumash, says the Gospel of Fat. Comes the Gemara and Masechet Nida and says, let's carry over this principle to a woman. So when a woman becomes a Zava, the woman becomes a Zava when she has 3 Re'ias Dam, 3 days in a row, and an abnormal time of a cycle. It's both methods, right? It's, you know, it's the 7 days, right? There's 7 days when a woman can become an Edom and a Torah, and the next 11 days she can potentially become a Zava. So during those 11 days, if she says she sees Dam 3 days in a row, you can remember whose tribute from last time. Who remembers which Rishon said that even if it's not 3 days in a row? Who remembers every single thing I said? Remember? Did I say that in the first semester? Did I say it? Probably did. The Sadigon says even if it's not 3 days in a row, and Tosfos says it's against the Gemara. Fine. So we held it has to be 3 days in a row. If a woman sees down, then she becomes a Zava Gadol. That's all Minatorah. But there are nothing that matters anymore. But Minatorah, if she sees down 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava Gadol. The Torah says, Vesafrala Shivas Yomim, she has to count 7 days in a row to be clean. So let's say at any time during the Shivan Akiyam she starts to bleed again, so the same as by Zav, that her Ia Ziva cancels the whole Shivan Akiyam, so the Ia Zav for a woman cancels the entire Shivan Akiyam also. So the Gemara raised the following Shara. Is there a parallel in Uchazava to the case of Stiris Balkari by a man? So the Gemara says, yeah, there is a potential parallel. What is that? What's the potential? How do you have a situation where a woman is becoming Tmei Tumas Keri, and she is Paleta Shefazera? If a woman, let's say she had Tashmish 2-3 days before, and now she's Paleta Shefazera, some of the Shefazera is coming out of her, so that's the halakha equivalent of a man seeing Re'ias Keri. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the name? When a woman who's a Zava, and she's in the middle of counting Shivan Akiyam, she's up to day 2, and she doesn't see blood, but she's Paleta Shefazera, does that affect the count or not? Do you say that one day is considered to be an off day, that's an F, that's a blank, you can't count that? But you say no, that din by a man doesn't carry over to a woman. What's the shayla? What's the lumpus? The Gemara says the lumpus is as follows. This din, that a woman who's a paleta shechvazera, that's considered to be a tumah. How do you know? That's Parshas Yisro last week. That's when Matan Torah was put off for 3 days to give the women a chance to be paleta shechvazera before Matan Torah. That's what that would be. 3 days they were away from the husbands, and then hopefully whatever Zera came out was over. So the Gemara says, this din that when a woman is polemical with Zera, she becomes Tameya. So what's the law of this? Is the pshat that she becomes Tameya because once the Zera comes out of her body, so it touches her body on the way out? So that was inside her body, it doesn't count. That's Magda Besa Star, that's inside, that doesn't count. But whatever comes out of her body, so she's in effect being no gas, Peshukh Zera, that's why she becomes Tameya. What was the pshat? No, the reason why she becomes Tameya is because that's like a Re'iyas carry, just as the man has the carry which is emanating from his body, he experiences a re'iya, so that's a tumas re'iya, not a tumas maga. Man has a, becomes a valkari, does become tummy because his body is touching the zera. Becomes tummy because the zera is coming out of him. So when a woman has shikha zera coming out of her body, is that also considered to be a tumas re'iya? Now it's not exactly the same because by a man it's emanating from him. By a woman it was just in her body and now it's coming out afterwards. So that's the shalim, that's the lam d'shashalim. This din that a woman is paleta shechazer becomes tameya, is that called a tumas magra, is that called tumas re'iyah? Remember we spoke about yesterday, there are differences in halacha between a tumas re'iyah, which is something which stems from the person, and tumas yotzei migufo, in contrast to a tumas magra, which is something external. So,
doesn't the fact that after 3 days the woman would be fine, because like the shech was like dead already, so it's showing that maybe...
No, it doesn't show anything. That shows that it's not shech was there anymore.
Yeah,
it's
because
he did. That's like, no, it's like... junk coming out of it. It's not Shepazer. It's only called Shepazer in Israel Azria. Okay? So you got to show they're still finding it out about how long it takes for the Zera to be pulled. No? Still undetermined. So there was an article, there was a study, you know, in the New England Journal of Medicine, about how many days, there was a recent study, you know, that they still can't figure out how many days it takes for Zera to still be pulled in.
Right?
Yeah, read it. See? From what I remember reading, so the Gemara has a whole machlokes, is how many days, let's say a woman had the tashmish a week ago, and all of a sudden today she's polemish of a zera. So the Gemara says that zera will not be mitame, because it's not royal lazri anymore, because it lost its ability to be able to impregnate her. So once the zera is dead, basically, so it's not considered to be shech zera anymore. So the Gemara has 3-4 different opinions, how long exactly does it take for the Zera to lose that ability. So one Tana says, 36 hours, 72 hours, 3 days, 2 days, different sheet is in the Sefer Shabbos that's quoted. So there was a study done a couple of years ago where they're still finding it out, that Ada Yom HaZera, doctors still aren't sure about this particular prop, precisely to the hour, how long is the Zera considered to be potent. So most of those sheet that were quoted in the Gemara, I think, corresponded to the different Kedolei place team of New England Journal. That's, I found that fascinating. So getting back to this story. So this is a lambda shashalom zephas nida. What's the nature of the din that a woman becomes tamei when she's polemus? Isn't it tumas magra? Is it tumas re'iyah? Not kamina. She becomes tamei anyway. But what's the other side of the din? The din of stira only makes sense when something is emanating from your body. Like let's say man was a zav. So if he sees a re'iyah ziva, that's also the whole week. If he sees a carry, it's also one day. A woman when she's a zav, she's kind of shem nekiyim. If she sees blood from her body, it's also the whole week. If she sees shechva zera, then it's also one day. So can you really say that she's called seeing? Can you really say it's called a tumas re'iya? That's called a tumas yotzei lamigufa. If it's not a tumas yotzei lamigufa, it's just a tumas maga. So nobody would ever say, let's say, if a woman in the middle of counting shiva nikim comes to day 5 and she touched the dead mouse, so you say, oh, she became tamei, so therefore it ruins the count. That's stupid. Because tumas maga doesn't affect her counting. Counting is for tumas, you only count days, the tumas which are yotzei lamigufa. That's the lambda shashalos. That's the chakira the Gemara raises. Is kolat shavazer tumas re'iyah or is it tumas magen? Finally, the Gemara's maskad is that it's tumas re'iyah, and therefore the din is that if a woman is kolat shavazer, it really will be sozer for that one day. That's what says the Gemara. So come to Rishonim and have the following machlekes. Comes the Ravid and says that this din that if a woman's in the middle of counting shiv mekiyim. Day 3, and all of a sudden she's pulled out the shofar zera from Tashmish that she had a couple of days ago. So says the Ravid, it's so sad. Shofar zera, that's going to affect her status, like having bailo, like having yochaz nida, your daya. So shofar zera has nothing to do with yochaz nida. Shofar zera is a din of tumah v'tara. So says the Ravid, and stum what the Gemara meant when it said that when the woman is pulled out the shofar zera, that it ruins the cow. That means it ruins it vis-a-vis taras. That means that the woman wants to become tahora, go to Beis HaMikdash, read truma, touch taras. Then she has to count that one day as being a blank day, the day that she was blood to shechazer. But vis-a-vis our husband, matnin shmita et lasina. What does this tuma shivazer have anything to do with the isin need the labayla? We don't care about tuma shivazer as manazer. So the rabbi says that whole din in the Gemara that it's going to ruin the shemekiyim is only vis-a-vis tyrus, not vis-a-vis baila. So comes the rabbi in effect with an unbelievable finish. Says the rabbi, you can have the following: when a woman starts counting shemekiyim on Sunday, so she counts Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. All of a sudden Tuesday she's pulled out the shivazer. So she has to say to herself, okay, what day is Wednesday? So, Lagabe, my husband, what day is Wednesday? Wednesday is day 4. Lagabe, me going to the Beis Hamikdash and eating Maisi Shemi, what day is Wednesday? Wednesday is only day 3. So she's going to go to the mikvah when? Sunday was day 1. So, let's say Shabbos, she's going to go to the mikvah, she's going to be together with her husband. And can she go to the Beis Hamikdash yet? No, she'll be chayav karas if she goes to the Beis Hamikdash. She's got to wait another day until she finishes the Shiva Nakiyam vis-a-vis Taras, and then tomorrow night she'll go to the mikvah. So comes the rabbi and says, yeah, nothing happening, that's it. So comes the rush in the seventh meeting, the fourth parent, quotes this rabbi and says, this is wild. Says the rush, one kasha. Hech tisto l'chatzoyim. How can you have such a concept that a woman has a steer in the middle of Shiva Nakiyam, lagabi hilchos taras, and not lagabi baila? In effect, what's the rush's kasha? The rush's kasha, the rabbi is this chakira. The rush says, the rush is understanding that Riyazdav creates a shame tumba. So Kol's mom, the dead shame tumba is still on you. There's no way you can be mutaris labayla. You cannot have a woman with tumas either tumas ziva, tumas nida, tumas yoledes. They're all the same. And these are lapas and be mutaris labayla. That's a key possibility. And what is the rive at all? No, the rive it seems to all replace it on top. Now the ears dam sets into different things in motion. So you can have a woman who's tumea and asura, you can have tumea and mutaris, you can have a woman made with tahora and asura. It's not a steer in terms. So look, ora, no pun intended. Ora, that machloik is the rive and the rush. Well, whether that was just okay, that was your comment. Whether you can have a stira lechatzayin, whether you can have two different cheshbainas, the difference between tyrus and vayel lechayir is the same issue as taisvus in terms of something to b'shus ayach and something to b'shus enough. Anyone want to disagree with this, Talia? Anyone want to argue why? You see, we don't want to say this. You know why we don't want to say this? Because we're going to end up then passing against this place in the Kama. Halacha, we pass in Shulchan Aruch like the Rosh. We pass in that there is pulled up the Shulchan Aruch as Manazet. It is relevant for us as Manazet. That's what Halacha is. Anyone know? Anyone know what Halacha we have as Manazet because of this? Because of the Shulchan Aruch.
Don't we hold just waiting on 3 more days?
Then? 5 more days, right? That's what Halacha is. As Manazet, before a woman can even begin to count Shulchan Aruch, we want to make sure that there's not going to be any issues with Pulat HaShavazer. So let's say a woman gets a period, she's a very, very short period. So one day she bleeds and it's all clean. So in theory, she could really start counting Shiva Nakiyam tomorrow, but we don't want to do that. Because let's say she had kashrus with her husband yesterday, and the Zera is still potent for a couple of days. So she'll start counting Shiva Nakiyam on Sunday. What's going to happen? It's going to come Monday and she'll be Pulat HaShavazer. She won't realize that she'll be Pulat HaShavazer in the middle of the night. She won't be cognizant of it. So it'll turn out that day that she was Pulat HaShavazer doesn't count towards the Shiva Nakiyam because we pass from like the Rosh. That the beloved is so sick, even like Abibayla. So therefore, we have a minute, we shut them right, so we have a minute, we don't want to take any chances. We tell all the women that they're not permitted to start counting Shiva Nakiyam until all fears of Poletus are over. So now it becomes critical. How long was Poletus? That depends on the Sigim of Shabbos. So we assume, like those Tanoim would say, that Poletus is 72 hours. If it takes 72 hours, the Zera is still valid, still potent. After 72 hours, then you don't have to be worried about it, even if she's physically Poletus. Therefore, we hold that you have to wait, in effect, 4 days, because you have to have Shiva Siyam in full days. So, let's say she had Tashmash and Mazar Shabbos, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, so the Zera will still be potent until Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, until the middle of the night. So, in theory, she can't start counting Shiva Nakiyam until Wednesday night, because you have to have the Yom Nakiyam, has to be complete. You can't start a day of Shiva Nakiyam, you can't start the first day of Shiva Nakiyam in the middle of the night. So, therefore, it says the Shulchan Aruch that every woman, before she can even begin to count Shiva Nakiyam, 4 days have to have passed. So then the Ramah, for good luck, threw in a 5th day. So we're not learning this either right now. The Ramah threw it in an extra day for some complication. So that's what I'm going to give you some 5 days. Ashkenazi practice, standard Ashkenazi practice is, you need a 5-day minimum before she can even begin because of the self fear report.
If she is not a neither, and she's poetic,
she becomes tummy, but that's irrelevant in terms of our halacha. Women are tummy for touching mason also.
Right, no, I'm saying, but it's nothing to do with it.
Doesn't affect her husband. But it's irrelevant. It doesn't affect her status with her husband. So the only thing that affects her status with her husband is damage. Okay, it's poletus to ruin the count of Shivinaki and when she wants to become Tahor from Riz. Okay? Fine, so in Lahalacha, nobody passes like this Rider. Well, the Rishon disagree with this Rider. Then the disagree with this Rider. So if the Rishon disagree with the Rider that they hold Hechtis Alachatzoy, it seems to be that Riz Dam is very into which is going right. Yes, sir. So how can we salvage this Taisis in Baba Kama? We don't want to just throw this Taisis away and say, that was a sheep at the Chuyah. They don't get any ideas. Taisis told us you could have a situation where she's Timea and Luteris. Right? That seems to be not like the rush. I want to hold it to rush, I still want to hold it to test. Okay. I don't want to throw test.
You could be positive in your things, but you can't be. For some reason, you're going to be exhausted right now.
One more. What did that say? What was the scenario case that she's Timea? She's your parent. Was a Sveik Sveika, went in the direction of Lahatir. In Hilchas Tuba, we had a Paskin up Timea. And now, in Hilchas Islamabad, we're going to pass on Jews in Paris. What Chakiri could we raise?
And the alleged they both call at the same time?
That's a Sveik Sveika thing, Klaal. We're going to get to that. There else Klaal. And I want to. Don't turn think in terms of Hilchos Sveik Sveik. Think in terms of Hilchos Sufik Tuma. Yishlachkor. What's Pshat?
That was because of Rishuz Rav, Rishuz Yafik, versus over here, it's a din and just, it's a din stam, the same aspect of Tuma.
He's almost there, almost there.
I mean, this is not totally on din and Rishuz, of which Pshat.
You'll be better before. We'll stop you over there. Okay. Tax space. Okay. Here's the story. This deal the Torah says we have a suffix tomb of Bishwas Ayachid. It's fake, fake. I'm not called fake, it's Ayachid Laharbos, Bishwas Ayachid, Kulam Tibet. There are 5 trillion different reasons to take by the person's Torah. The Torah says, I'll be here. What's Pshah? Is Pshah that the Torah is telling us that the person is telling that that particular tumor. Let's say if the shadow was the tumas may stick a shadow. The time was the shadow was the tumas sheret stick a shadow. Or was the tumas needed stick a shadow? And we're not sure whether the person became tummy tumas sheret. So we're saying, I don't care what your reasons are, you have a million fakers to think that you're tahor. No. We are saying, the Torah is telling you, asasafik kavadai, we're telling you are tummy tumas sheret. That's the name of your tumor. You are tummy tumas sheret, notwithstanding the fact that the odds are probably that you're really tahor. Or the ones say, the Torah is not pulling a fast one over you. The Torah is not telling you that you're necessarily tamei tumas sheretz. We know that there's a 95% chance you probably didn't touch a sheretz. What's the Torah telling us? It's a chiddush haTorah that you're tamei. What's the name of the tumah? Catch this one. The name of the tumah is safek tumah b'shus hayochid sveikot tamei. You're tamei with a tumah. What's the word, guys? Here it is. Ellen, what's the word? It's not a hunt, but it's a hunt. There you go. It's not a tumor protis. It's not an individualized tumor. It's a tumor clonus. Namely, let's say I have a suffix tumor, which is Yachid. Maybe I touched the maize. Let's say Mati's got a suffix tumor, maybe he touched the sheretz. And Rachel's got a suffix tumor, maybe she was an Eden now. So one can argue that we're all tummy the same type of tumor, because none of us are tummy our individual tumor. But all tummy one shaloshem tumah. The new shaloshem tumah is called safek tumah b'shusayyoh. So Rabbi Chanan suggests this idea. They quote this from Rabbi Chaim also, this notion that safek tumah b'shusayyoh is not an individualized tumah, it's a tumah klos. Abba Azor, he says Rabbi Chanan. Then what? No. There's no cash whatsoever. The place is said that when you have a sveik sveika, you have to pass it up that the woman is tumeya. She's tumeya, but she's not tumeya what? She's not tumeya neither. She's not tumeya ledes. So what's going in the isla baila? A tumas neither is going in the isla baila. They're not a tumas. Every person who's tumeya al safik tumas shesayach does become a suitor to the husbands. So Kamdu Bachan it says that it's not a stira b'chalal to what the Rishon and what the Rush holds, the way we pass in Shulchan Aruch. There is nothing now. If tumas neither creates the isla baila, you cannot split between tumas neither and isla baila, but you can split, obviously, so between tumas, safik tumas shesayach and the isla baila. The two have nothing to do with each other. So Bachan is interesting.
I don't understand. Isn't it like when you're But let's say you have a suffix that you touch the dead body and a suffix that you touch the sherets. So you're going to be the dead body, you're going to be tummy 7 days, the sherets only. So how can you say that?
They're going to be different halachas.
Yeah.
The halacha is that you have to make believe that if the suffix tumas started out tumas mace, you have to make believe you get down for 7 days. In the Chinam, you're not called the tumas ashamed about the tumas mace. It's a funny thing. Yeah, in the Chinam. So who knows? Who's this machlokes between? This shayla, bottom line, whether the tree is down creates two different things, or the tree is down creates too much creates this, or besides being a potentially machlokes arriving in the rush, besides potentially machlokes enticing, anyone know which character this was machlokes between? You want to learn Jewish history? You want to learn Jewish philosophy? You want to learn Middle East Jewish philosophy?
I know Jewish history.
Okay. Anyway, we have the Kuzari. So, Rabbi Halevi, in his famous book, the Kuzari, so he has this little debate there between the Melech and Kuzarim. Everyone knows the story, right? I hope everyone knows the story. Okay. It's between the Melech and Kuzarim, and we'll figure it out, Shabbat. And rabbi. So comes the Melech HaKuzari and says to the rabbi, I don't understand. You claim that Judaism, that the Torah exists forever and ever. That's why you're against all the other religions, because they change, that you claim they changed what the mitzvahs were. You guys also changed the mitzvahs. After all, I don't see you people keeping the halachas of Tumas Meis and Tumas Sheretz b'zman hazeh. So what did the Chacham answer? What did the rabbi answer? He says, of course we keep the halachas of Tumah B'Tahara. The only thing is, the Tumah B'Tahara only apply when you have a Beis HaMikdash, when you have Kachin, when you have Trum, when you have Ma'aseh Sheni. Not that we don't follow the Tumah B'Tahara, it's just that the Metzias that requires Tumah B'Tahara right now happens not to be present. So came along the Melech HaKuzarim and asked the Chacham the next question, in Cain, that Tumah doesn't in effect apply as man as that. So how come you guys have your wives go to the mikvah? How can you keep Hichos Nida? That was the question that the Melech HaKuzarim asked the Chacham. So what did the Chacham answer? So the Chacham answered, no, that's the stupidest question in the world. He said, everybody knows that the reason why our wives are asuras to us are not because they're tumeos, because Tumah l'chud and Issa l'chud. That there are two halachas, says that the lumbish of this baby. There are two halachas, when a woman sees her yizdam, so she becomes tamei, that's true, and that's only relevant to kachim. Then there's a different halacha, which is totally irrelevant to chastuma, not the din of Issa l'bayil, which is, of course, with Ma'ariv Bizman Hazeh. Do you think that I'm kidding you by bringing this raya, or Rav Yosef Engel brought this raya? Rav Yosef Engel raises the shayla. What's the connection between the din of Tumas Nida and the Issa l'bayil? So Rav Yosef Engel says, a raya boomer from the Chacham Jantz, the Malach HaKuzari, see, the two have nothing to do with one another. Anyway, interesting. I like the raya. Anyone know the other raya? I think Rav Yosef Engel brought this one also. So Pasuk in Chumash, the Torah says, Ki palim chadav l'mishpat ben gam l'dam v'dim l'dinu v'nega l'nega. So the Gra writes that what is the Torah split up these three different areas of Allah? Dam l'dam, v'dim l'nega l'nega. So the Gra says, these are the three different areas of halacha that shaylos tend to come up in. But what the halacha that can be broken up into three categories? There's issa v'hefer, there's dinei mominus, and there's tumah v'tahara. Right? Those who say the tefillah in the morning, with ruchun ben akana, shaloi pasher v'galer, heim b'dinei issa v'hefer, heim b'dinei mominus, heim b'roi b'lirek. There are all different areas. There are three different areas of halacha. There's tumah v'tahara, there's issa v'hefer, dinei mominus. So what are the examples of shaylos? So negla negla is a shaylos of negum, shaylos of saras. That's a bit of tumah v'tahara. Ben din l'din is a shayla in terms of din mamonis. What does ben dam l'dam mean? So the Gemara says in Nida, in the Sanhedrin, ben dam l'dam means ben dam tabel l'dam torah. You have a shayla. You bring the rod down to look at, to look at the ears down, to look at the kesset, to look at the mara, to see, is it red, is it not red? So that's called ben dam l'dam. So the Echarim say, you see from the fact that the Gemara put that into a different category. That the Gemara held that the negel and negel is one area, that's the Rukatara, and dam l'dam is a sinhetta. So you see that when the Rav is postulating on a Shaila, he's not postulating on the Tumah V'Tahara aspect of the Shaila, he's postulating on the Issa part of the Shaila, because they're two different things. That's why sometimes when a woman brings you a Shaila to look at, sometimes the Rav will use the word, will say Tumah, say the Tumah Tahar. So I'll never use that word. A woman asks me a Shaila, I'll never say the word Tumah. Not because it is, because psychologically women don't like to hear that word. So say Asa. It's Asa, say Asa, don't say Tumah. So Tumah conjures up the image of being dirty. So, But I'll be aloha, it may be true, because when a woman is coming with a shayla, so she's not coming to ask, is it tummy or tar? Who cares whether it's tummy or tar? She wants to know she's in tar, so she has surah. So according to this word of the Akura, the correct word to use is isavahatha. Anyway, that was all in the sun. This was not what I wanted. This is not the real shit. This is the Thursday part. We talk about other topics. So getting back to what we spoke about yesterday, we left us hanging with Machlokes Rishonim, whether Sveik Sveika works in the realm of Isurei Karis or not, depending on the lumbus that we said yesterday. Allah Lamaiz, how do we pass it? Do we pass it if Sveik Sveika works or not? So there is a Ramah, and it was needed, that's a critical Ramah. We're going to talk about it a little bit now, and then I want to come back to it next week, because we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about a particular problem for Sveik Sveika. The Ramah basically passes that Sveik Sveika does work in it was needed, which is, of course, in Isurei Karis. The particular scenario of the Ramah is important. It's important halacha l'maisa, and it's important just in understanding some of the problems we expect as we go on. The Gemara tells us, and the Sefer's needed in a few places, that the only dam that's tamei is the only dam that comes from the mocha, the only dam that comes from the uterus itself. If the blood comes from another part of the woman's body, obviously it comes from the nose, it's not going to be a tamei, but even if it comes out of that same opening, if it comes from a different physiological part of the body, not from the uterus itself, so that's considered to be mutter. That's what the halacha we call dam min hatzadim. So dam just means that any area from the side, it does not come, it's not flowing out of the uterus proper. So that's dam min hatzadim. So dam min hatzadim is a double pasha, that's mutter. Then the Gemara is another chiddush. The Gemara tells us in the Masechta Nida that even blood that's coming from the uterus itself can also be mutter if it's what's called a makah sheba mahar. That means it's coming from some wound, it's not part of the... That's a very tricky question. How do you define this? But it's not considered to be the regular blood. That's considered to be a makah b'makah. But that does not mean that if a woman gets blood, let's say the abnormal part, in the middle of the month, she starts to bleed. So that's not a makah b'makah necessarily. She has to go to the doctor and see, is it a makah b'makah, or is it just blood that's coming a couple of days too early, a couple of days too late? It alluded to that she has some medical issue, which al pi halacha is labeled as a makah b'makah. That's also considered to be a mutter. So you can have two different types of makas that can be makas the woman, either a makas the studen or a makas in the mutter itself. So the Gemara says that everybody agrees to this din, that if the woman has a makas, that she's all right. It's not considered to be dam nidus. There's a big, big, big one. Like you said, Shomer, how do you ascertain that? What exactly, good old days before ultrasounds, so it wasn't such an easy statement to say that the dam is necessarily coming from a matah. So it was a big machlokes between the Rashba and the Mordechai, how precisely to define this halacha that if a woman has a matah, therefore the dam is going to be mutter. So the Rashba claims that as long as the woman knows for a fact that she has a matah, how she figured that out, that's another question, but let's say she knows for a fact that she has a matah, even though the makah is not necessarily being motzi dam right now. She really doesn't know that the makah has the ability to bleed, but she knows there's some kind of a move, there's some kind of problem there. That's called the makah she'ena yadua she'motzi dam. The makah is documented, there's a makah there, but it's not really sure that it's motzi dam, so the Rashba says that's okay. If a woman just stops in the middle of nothing, she starts to bleed, so she can assume that the blood is coming from the makah, because she knows for a fact she has a makah there.
Well, let's say if she had this wound her whole life, she would never really know what the cycle fish
was. Right, that's what Tosfos writes. Everybody agrees. Tosfos writes, there's another portion that even if a woman knows for a fact that she has a matha that is matzi dam, it's going to come some point we're going to have to say it's a period and not the matha. So that's what the Rashi says. Comes to Mordechai and says nothing doing. Comes to Mordechai and says that in order to be, it's called Tosfos and a matha, in order to assume the blood coming from a matha, it has to be a makha hayadua shemaiti dam. It's not enough that she knows that there's blood, that there's a makha. She has to know that there's a type of makha that tends to bleed. That's the makha like you say, we showed it in the morning and the rash. So comes the Shulchan Aruch. How does Shulchan Aruch pass me on my note? Who did the mechava? Who did the makha? What does the mechava say? Nobody knows? Pass the Rashba. The Shulchan Aruch holds the Rashba. He doesn't say that you have to know that the matah is bleeding. The Rashba says that the woman's commanded to say matah yeshi b'mokho, she commanded to say dam, finish. It doesn't necessarily have to be a matah hayadu ha-shem etidam. And the Ramah's matah. The Ramah says, no, they have one free rap with Ramah. Anyway, any idea what this Ramah was talking about? No, a little bit. Anyone see this Ramah? Yeah. Everyone saw it, Kupay Zayin? So comes the Ramah and says, no, we pass like the Mordechai. She can ask the matah for the Mordechai. It has to be a makah hayadua shemaitim. So the Ramah would just stop there. Good, Machlekes like, Rishonim, the Mechabes, make it the Ramah's, not a big deal, not the end of the world. Comes the Ramah now and says as follows. However, what's the deal as follows? It says, a woman knows that she has a Macha, but she's not sure that it's Motzi Dam. But she starts to bleed, and she's not even sure where the blood's coming from. Maybe she knows it's coming out of that part of her body, but she's not sure that the blood is necessarily coming from the Macha to begin with. Maybe the blood is coming, not stubborn. Maybe it's coming lagamre, not for the machar. And even if it's a lomar, that it's coming from the machar, well, maybe it's coming from the mach on the machar. She can't say for sure it's coming from the mach on the machar because it's only because it's not a motzidam. But Ramon says that a machar that's not yadua shem motzidam doesn't really qualify to say with divados that the wound is actually bleeding. But maybe they sveikel on afka. Even according to the Ramon, probably like the Mordechai, that you need a makah yedua shemotzidam. But if it's not yedua shemotzidam, it still creates a latest and sofek. So comes the Ramah and pulls the following sphinx on. Says the Ramah that the woman is mutaris. Why? Because maybe the blood's from the stub and maybe it's from the mokhar. And if it's limits from the mokhar, maybe it's from the makah shiva mokhar. The famous kula of the Ramah of sphinx sphinx. Everybody should be reading this Ramah. Everybody should have stopped when they read this Ramah and said, this is a violation of what principle? We're going to get to that next week. We didn't even start, so expect for Shemechah. That's the Shach's time again for the Ramah. So the Shach's time, you'll follow this Ramah. So we're going to save the Ramah next week, so hold on. Okay? You want to wait till the Shabbos? Can we save the Ramah? Give you the whole Shabbos to think about this Kasha. Okay? If you get your hands on the CDs upstairs, I think it's CD, I don't know, 16, 18, 16, 17, somewhere, I speak about this Ramah, the terror to this Ramah. So, the only part that we want to extract from this Ramah is what the Ramah did say was that Sveik Sveika works, notwithstanding the fact that we're dealing with the Nisakaris. And even those that are like Pshat who disagree with the Ramah Sveik Sveika on technical grounds, nobody on the page in Shulchan Aruch raised the red flag on the Ramah and said, hey, wait a second, this is Sveik Sveika of the Issacharis. Everybody's assuming that Sveik Sveika of the Issacharis in fact does work. And halacha nice, that's what we assume. We pass them like this Ramah, even though we may disagree this Ramah in terms of Bukhaz Nida, maybe for technical reasons, but at least the principle that Ramah is developing that Sveik Sveika of the Issacharis is valid. We accept halacha, and the reason is one of two reasons, either because we pass like the Rashi, Sveik Sveika of the Tamroi, and therefore for sure works in the Issacharis, or even if it's based on the Rambam most probably holds, like the Kikwekirs in the Rambam, that Sveika of the Rais is the Kula, even by the Issacharis. Okay? That's the end of the issue of Sveik Sveika in terms of back on the Sveik Sveika, whether Sveik Sveika applies to Issacharis. Yeah, so we said yesterday that even according to the Rambam holds that Sveik Sveika doesn't work mitam ro, that it works mitam Sveik Derais Lakula, it's most probable that the Rambam holds that Sveik Derais Lakula applies even by Issacharis. There's only one Gittus in the Rambam that said it's not going. Okay. Good, everyone ready to stop next again? Yeah.
Is this even if, let's say, she has every 30 days and this is on her 30 days?
That's the difference. That's the one that we mentioned before, that if you have the Shas Vesta, the thing will happen to be totally different. Okay? So we'll leave that up there. Who said, well, who wanted to open the Gemara? Ellie, you want to open the Gemara? Okay, can we open it for Ellie? Okay. So one thing the Gemara says clearly, the Gemara says, on the next second. The Gemara says that when it comes to the whether the woman is mutaris havayla, so the principle of sveik sveika takes over. If there's a sveik sveika, sometimes the written of the sveik sveika, but in a situation where there's a sveik sveika of shem hatatam, shem hatatam, shem rotam, shem onas, the din is that sveik sveika is going to be mutar. So, who knows the first cash? That's it. Okay, don't get too long. So, what's the bomb cash of the shidduch presents us? It's the bomb cash message. We've been talking about it for the last 45 minutes. The only thing I just did it because I wanted to say a little shtickle there and it was neither.
It's
suffik tuma. What's the Gemara talking about? Isn't this a shayla of suffik tuma? Suffik tuma, yeah. What's the mokra that suffik tuma, which is the yachad of Tameh? So we said yesterday, the Torah says that you have a woman who had chini and steer from her husband. And now we're not sure whether she became Tamei or not. So what is the din? The din is that a sota becomes a surah, a sa'achas of safi kivadai, she becomes a surah to her husband because now she doesn't drink the water. The Gemara says just as Hilchas Sota is a din of Tuma, how do you know that din of Tuma? Torah says of a Nitma'a, just as Hilchas Sota is a din of Safek Tuma, and since every case of Sota is going to be obviously the Shisei Yachid, there aren't too many other people around, or two people around, the Bol and the Novellas, so therefore, just as Safek Sota is Lachomra, Sota, what about the Sveikas and Tuma, in the Shisei Yachid, all the Chomra as well. Comes the Sheikh Mukubensis and asks Sugi and says, hey, wait a second. If Sota, the Issa Sota, what's the Issa Sota? The Issa of Eshazisha Zinsa, the din that Eshazisha Zinsa, the Issa Labaila, is called an Alacha Shem Tuma, and that serves as the prototype of Uchas Tuma, these are the Sveikas and Rishis Yachid. So, what in the world is the Gemara doing in Ksuvas and Daftes, turning around and applying the principle of Sveik Sveika, Bahatim? We have a shaila in front of us now. Is this woman Asura Labaila because she was Mizana or not? So we don't know, so we're trying to figure it out. So comes the sheet and says, we should go to the rules of Hilchas Tuma. We should say, Safik Tuma B'Shus HaYachad is Tuma, Safik Tuma B'Shus HaRabim is Tuma. And that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara applies the rules of Safik Yachad being Asur and Safik being Mutar. So who's, the sheet is Kasha and our Suga is in effect the same type of Kasha as who? Tosis in? Baba Kama. The same way Tosis in Baba Kama jumped on the Suga of Shilya and says, hey, the Gemara is using their own rules. So too, the Sheet and Asuga asks the Gemara is using the wrong rules as well. Before you saw the Sheet, you just read the Gemara, didn't you think it was Kasha? Nobody thought it was Kasha? Aria, though this Kasha didn't burden you, and you didn't think that, what's the Gemara talking about, right, Jeremy? The Gemara, they forgot, they didn't know something to do, but she said, yeah. What does the Sheet say? What? Oh, because he said the word Huchsaka. Yeah, I don't know. Chazaka means Chazaka. Huchsaka doesn't mean Chazaka. No? The theory is, how do you mean that Huchsaka is Sham Tuma? Well, I'm not Huchsaka, Sham Tuma, Klav, Svek, Svek, Ein Eishra. What Chazaka? How do you think it meant Chazaka? I understand. Savi Tuma, Bishis, Yachid is the only time there's a Cheska Tuma. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Right? Everybody knows that's ridiculous. Every case of some Tumah is Yachid, I have a Cheskes Tara. I'm not sure what the Rabbi came to me now. And now maybe I touched the Sheretz, maybe I didn't touch the Sheretz. So I have a Cheskes Tara, and the Torah says I become Tumah. So what does the Sheet mean, Hufsuk Hashem Tumah?
We thought that by
Sfeizing,
you know, once something, then any
Sfeizing. No, he's saying a Chil between Sfeik Sfeikas and something else. It means when is fake faker told me that's only the Zecheskes Tuma. That's not true. It's absolutely not true. I think what the Sheet is saying something amazing. He's saying that when do you say the Safek Tuma B'Shus HaYachid is Tomei? What's the case? I'm standing over here. And there's a sheretz over there. And I'm not sure, did I touch the sheretz or not? The Davar HaMetam is here. The Davar HaTor is over here. And we're not sure what happened. Similar to what? What's the model for something to one? Sota. The Isha is the Davar HaTor. The Ba'al, the Voel, is the Metame. So we're not sure, did the boil come, did this man come and be Metame or not? Right? That's the case. Those are the illustration of the Torah of Safek Tuma B'Shus HaYachid. At the time that we're being done of the Shiloh, the time of the latest of Safek, the Reyes is Lefaneinu. Everything is in front of us. Hakol Po, and now we're trying to figure out what happened. Is that what's happening in our sugya? What's happening in that sugya?
I think that's
something I have to do. Yeah, first of all, the Boel is long gone. Maybe he's dead already. Who is? We're creating a suffix now. We're on the blackboard now. We're trying to figure out what happened. Was it Takta was in it? Takta was in Rotz? Was it Ines? This is not a Shiloh with a Reyes of staring us in the face. And we're trying to determine whether the tumor happened or not. So Tyson Soita has that notion. Tyson Soita has that same Yisoid that the Medivar Amurim, that suffix tumor, which is a Yachid, is Tomei, that's when the Reyes is Lefanenu. The Boel is Lefanenu, the Sheretz is Lefanenu. But over here, when that which we're being done on is not even Lefanenu at all, so B'chi Agav, the Klal of suffix tumor, which is a Yachid, doesn't apply. Reb Shimon, Shari Yosha claimed that that's what the Shita means also. That's the Shita's lingo to say the same as Tayyid and Sotah and Akhla Chesed that says that's only Tommy when the race is offended. Everyone accepts this? Everyone accepts this Bechla. And was that another answer? How to explain away our Sigin?
Very easily, that's also saying Bechla.
Please, Bechla. How's that going to help? Isla that is the Tumah Sota. Right? That's what the Torah says, that the woman is a Sura Labaila of the Sufik. Yeah? What's wrong with the Kasha? Kasha was, it's a Sufik Tumah. Shouldn't you come here?
You know where he had the Beoth? You know when he had the Beoth or the where he found out that she was Pesach also?
No, but then that could be his mother. We were being down on the fact. We wonder what happened 6 weeks ago. Was there a Dover on the Tommy Gardner?
Could you really consider Rosh Hashanah like in Boston?
I mean, the latest of Suffolk is in Boston. That's pretty fancy. The assumption of the Shita was is that the latest of Suffolk is Rosh Hashanah. Why did you assume that? Why do you assume that's called? That's where the letters are something at?
Be a Rishona.
You don't mean be a Rishona, you mean be a with. Where's the letters of something? Letters of something is not when the husband discovers Pesach Pesuach. The letters of something is what happened 6 months ago. We're trying to figure out when there's Nusat, when she became Ois Pesula. So the Shita was assuming in his Kasha, that's called the Suffolk Tube, which is a Yachad, and proceeded to ask his Kasha. How do you know this Nusat happened in Rosh Hashanah? Maybe there were other people around when she was Mizan. How do you know? We have no idea. We don't even know when this happened. We don't know how it happened. So if she was raped, maybe she was raped in front of 10 people. The Torah tells you the case. The Torah says, one man, one woman. So here's an interesting shot. What do you do when a suffix tumah is nolad? And the latest is something that was tumah. And catch this, guys. We're mesupuk, whether it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachad or Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that the latest asafik was in. What's the din? That's the Torah called Safik Rishiyas. What's that like?
Give out the robe and say most of the robe, like, happens in Rosh Hashanah. Can't say that?
That maybe. You're trying to defend the Shit Mukhubetz and Scotch. Yeah. Right? We'll get to that in a second. So comes the Sheikh Shmaisa and says, so Taka, what do you do when you have a suffix for Shias? Says the Sheikh Shmaisa, guess what? You gotta throw your hands up and say, there's no klal nukhas tumor that we can plug in here. You can't call it Rishis Yah because we don't know. You can't call Shiz Ram because we don't know. So says the Sheikh Shmaisa, what do? Throw out nukhas tumor, and if you're not working with a specific klal nukhas tumor, what's left? The regular dinner of Sfakas. I mean, the Tumah would have also been governed by the regular dinner of Sfakas, and after the Xeris Akasa of Safik Tumah Bishas Ayachid, the Xahalapa Mosh Messina to learn out from Saita. So says the Sheikh Shmaitza, what kind of this technical reason the Klalim of Safik Tumah don't apply? So you go back to the regular rules being Safik Echid is also Sfakas Fakas Mutra. So says the Sheikh Shmaitza, that's what's going on in Asadiyah. That's the reason why the Gemara ignored the principle of Safik Tumah, Bishas HaYachar, Bishas HaRabim, because we have no way of knowing where the tumor actually emanated from.
Well, the Chazal said it's here. There was mamash and ma'isa. It's just unclear how the ma'isa occurred. But the guy with tuma stam, we're not sure if he touched the object or not.
We're not sure. Was there?
I mean, was there ma'isa nigia?
When you want a time here, for sure there was a ma'isa bia. And now we're trying to be done on, was it a type of a bia that was a bia ha'osaris or not?
Right.
Some, so there is a, some have such an idea. At least some have written about that terrorist.
Right.
How come the Shita didn't realize this? How come the Shita confessed didn't realize this? So one of three possibilities. One of three possibilities why the Shita did not say this. So one is, maybe the Shita held at Suffolk Meshuyos, that's like a Suffolk tumor. So it's a Suffolk. So what's the rule? It's a Suffolk rather than a Rishus HaYochid. That's also included in the din of Suffolk tumor, Rishus HaYochid Lechumra. Maybe there's an interesting machlekes taking place in the Shita and the Sheish Matza. What's the din if you're a Mesupak, whether you're in a Rishus HaYochid? So according to the Sheish Matza, when you're a Suffolk, whether you're in the din of Suffolk tumor, so then you just throw out the whole din of Suffolk tumor, and you just say Suffolk derives Lechumra, Spekus Bekele Kula. And maybe the Shita holds a kol nichnas in the klal of Suffolk to Rishus HaYochid. Any Suffolk which is could potentially be in a Rishus HaYochid is also covered by the rule Suffolk to Rishus HaYochid. Maybe that's what the Shita holds. That's one possibility. What's another possibility?
Robe.
Maybe the Shita holds that whenever you have a robe, it's a robe. That's robe is what? What's the word we want to use? We can use the word machriya. That since most bias do take place in Rishus HaYochid, so maybe we have a right to assume that we have an obligation to assume that it's a Rishus HaYochid, and once we rove Paskins up to Rishus HaYochid, then maybe we plug in the rules of something to Rishus HaYochid. That's a second possibility. What's the second possibility?
That we don't resort back to those rules. And when those rules are cancelled out, we don't resort back to the regular rule.
What rules do we rule? Where do we go from there now? What do we rely on? If we're not following the regular rules, we're not following the special rules, so it's anarchy and halacha. What are we following? Just Ishkal Yashav Yanav Yasef. Look at the famous story of the Mayan Avram, no? Somebody came to a particular rabbi, they were fighting out and sure who has Kedima, the Yurtzak, Yid Bishchodesh, this one, that one, who should down for the Yamun. So the Rav said, flip a coin. So they screamed to the Rav, what do you mean flip a coin? The Mayan Avram, a list of 20 rules, who comes first? So the rubber spot, I didn't think the Magen Avraham got those rules. He also flipped a coin. That's what Mati's psak is. Flip a coin, whatever happens, heads you win, tails you lose. What's the other pshat in the Shita? Why do you think the Shita may have not wanted to say like the Shita? How do you define Rishu Sayyachid? What does the Gemara say? How do you know what is Rishus Yochid, Rishus Ram? Well, you follow 600,000 people, that's Rishus Ram. If the streets are straight, that's Rishus Ram. If there's no source of Pesach, that's Rishus Ram. How do you know what's called Rishus Ram and Rishus Tumah? What's the call? Three people is Rishus Ram, two is company, three is a crowd. So two people is considered to be Rishus Yochid, three or more is considered to be Rishus Ram. What's the example par excellence of Rishus HaYochid? Sota. Why is Sota Rishus HaYochid? Why does the Gemara assume that the case of Sota is Rishus HaYochid? Because presumably, how many people are in the room? The man and the woman. That's presumably the reason why. Is there another reason why? Is there another possible reason why we're assuming that Sota is Rishus HaYochid? Not just because there are two people in the room,
the Pasuk says.
What would it say that he's Rishus HaYochid? Plus, as Ministra, okay. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later. What's another possible reason why maybe by definition so does Rishus HaYochid?
So if the doors are closed, you can't see what's going on.
But there may be other people around.
Oh, they won't be able to tell where it's going. What's going on?
Oh, because that means Bia, maybe Bia by definition is called the latest suffix of Tumah of Rishus HaYochid, because there are only two people who can ultimately know what's going on, the man and the woman. Because the Gemara says that it's E.F. Shaluros can mechabish faferis, and nobody else can really see what's happening. So even if there are 1,000 people around, it's only the man and the woman will realize that there's a real Maisa Bia taking place. So by definition, Bia is always called a late is a suffix in Pirush HaZayachin. Anyone know who says this? This is Min Chassidut that says. We'll talk about this a little bit later on. Min Chassidut has this Yisoy. That the reason why the Gemara calls Sotis Pirush HaZayachin is not because physically speaking only two people in the room, but because Halach, then only two people could possibly know, even if there happened to be 100 other people around. So if the Shittim of Kabbat holds like this Yisoy in Min Chassidut, then we understand this Kasha very well. It's not a Suffolk Rishuyos. Even Naniach, that the Shmais is right, that there are 100 people watching, it doesn't matter. It's Vaidu, it can still be called a Suffolk Tuma Rishus HaYachid. Okay, so you see Klor from the Sheikh Shmaitza, that he's not working with that assumption. In fact, the Sheikh Shmaitza said, the reason why that Suja Speak applies in Suffolk Tuma is not applicable, is because it's a Suffolk Rishus HaYachid, Suffolk Rishus HaRavim. He's assuming that a beer that takes place in Rishus HaRavim is called a Suffolk Tuma Rishus HaRavim. Okay, so possible. Okay, so yeah, our sugya does not even mention the words Suffolk Tuma Rishus HaYachid. And the Shita's bothered, why not? And the Shita had a bigger potential in Sota because it slips out. It's a special quirk because the Amoras on the Fayeg. Whereas the Sheikh Shmaisa said the reason why Suffolk Tuma Rishus HaYachid doesn't apply because we're not even sure that it happened in Rishus HaYachid. So we have three possible biurim as to why the Shita didn't want to say that.
If Sota is the Makor for like what is Rishus HaYachid, and it's something that's only if there's no people who don't actually see what's going on. It's like, how could it be that, like, we just said that Bia, even if it's in front of 1,000 people, that's for Shusi Yachid, if it's only if those two know what's going on. And Sota, like, if there's other people in the room, that's not how it's Sota, then
nope.
There's...
No.
If there's eight
people... Let's wait and see. Okay, hold on. Let's wait and see. Even though we solved this problem, our basic kashya, we're asking in our sugya, what happened to the din of Suffolk Tuma Rishus HaYachid? So the Shita is mahalach and the Shmaita is mahalach. Why don't you keep this kashya in the background? Don't forget this kashya. It's going to come back to haunt us in our sugya. How come the Gemara did not invoke the principle of Suffolk Tuma Rishus HaYachid? Even though we have two valid approaches to that, perhaps there's something deeper to it. Yeah.
Doesn't the Chumash say that there's an
innate,
that there wasn't, that there's a mashmash, but there couldn't be an innate, like,
the guy himself,
they don't see
what can, yeah, okay, so the truth is that you can have Eidus and Bia, how do you have Mechayev and Eshezish for Mises Beis Din? So the Gemara says in Maseches Machlokes, actually, Yiru Kederach HaMenachim, that as long as the Eidim see the couple as if they're upbelt about that Bia, that's considered to be a good enough of a Re'iyah vis-a-vis Mises Beis Din. So Josh's kasha is, wait a second, the Gemara says that's considered to be a good enough Re'iyah vis-a-vis Mises Beis Din. So how can you turn around and say that's not called a Rabin for the purposes of Suffolk Tuma Rishus HaRavim? That's your kasha, right? You see that the Gemara... No, yeah, I thought that's what he has. So you see that that's called... No pun intended, that's called the Riyah. You see that the Torah is Keveya, that seeing Derech HaMenachim is good enough. You don't have to see Kimichal Bishmas Beres. That's not a bad kasha. When we get to Mechaz Chinev a little bit later, we'll see Mechav and Kibshim's kasha. That's Kibshim's kasha in the Mechaz Chinev. He doesn't understand that. How can you say it's called Riyah one day of Allah and not Le Yabina? We'll see.
Why Rishus HaRavim for Riyah?
Yeah, we'll see. That's really jumping ahead. We'll get to that hopefully next week. But keep this kasha in the back burner. I don't want to forget this kasha. How come the Gemara doesn't mention the din of Suffolk Tuma Rishus HaYachid? The Rishonim here assume on our daf, Rashi and Tosfos, that there's a cloud called Pitei Katana. Places that if you have a little girl, presumably under the age of 12, who's being mizana, so even though she's quote unquote doing it willingly, somebody talked her into it, Boel talked her into it, so that's not called the Ratzo, that's called the Onus. So you have a 10-year-old girl who's married, follows the Kabbalah Kedusha, knows that she's married, etc., and somebody comes and talks with having being mizana with him. So the Rishonim and Adaf assume that she's still Mutaris Labayla, because that's called Onus. He didn't physically, forcibly rape her, no? That's considered to be Peter Ketan Onus. She's not considered to be enough of a Bazdas to understand exactly what's going on. So therefore, Stalaka says that's Onus, and the thing is that the nation Yisrael, she's an Ashes Kohen, she's of the Greek, which is an Ashes Yisrael, who is then, so is Mutaris Labayla. Fine. Peter Ketan Onus. Which Rishon disagrees with that? The Rambam, right? The famous Rambam Shita. Rambam Paskins that Pita Katana is lava. Rambam Paskins that a little girl of Mizana if she's paralyzed, it's wrangled in her bones, but if she's seduced, so once she agrees to go along with it, Peter Tana, the Ram, fasting his love, Ainus, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says in 20 places, Peter Tana, Ainus. We'll get there hopefully in a couple of days. Have the Rambam saw what Gemara forced the Rambam to disagree. Anyone know which Gemara, by the way? Which Gemara in Shas forced the Rambam to pass Kenneth Peter Tana's love, Ainus? Super Zav Tess, of course. Okay, we'll get there. Before we even address the question of the Rambam, can anyone understand the Rambam conception? How did the Rambam pass and repeat the Tana the love is? Don't we all know that the Tana's love is Shas? The 10-year-old girl is Mazama quote unquote Perotzen. We're going to ask all the Bible. We're going to kill her and raise her. She's not Chayev Azonshin, she's Lav Azonshin because she's a Lav Azdas. So how can you turn around and say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not holding it against her, but we're still going to ask all the Bible? Is this a stira?
We can say
this to the Baal, this to the Baal,
this
to the
Baal.
Oh, so what are you saying? Which?
So
the
three
Rosh? Close. Arik. Right? What was the famous Arik? We spoke about less than this. Arik had a Shaila about a woman who was Mazana Beratzon. And he asked her, what are you doing? You're crazy. She said, what's wrong with what I did? So they said, what? It says in the Aseret HaDibros. That's what it means. Well, Sinaf, I never knew. So what is Marik Paskin? That's the rule of Bible. I show you. See, Marik says, true, that she showed you a copy of Shemaya. The brother's not going to punish her like a maze, he'll treat her like a shogeg on the mutter. But after the change, she was Bogedes Bavayim, she was Mala Bavayim. Any woman who gets married understands that the husband probably doesn't want this. So therefore, when it comes to the Issa Labayla, the Torah says, Mala Bo Ma'al. If she's Moelas Bebayla, she becomes a Sri Labayla, even though she wasn't Moelas, the Akkadish Baruch. It was a famous psalm of my Rip, which Ramah quotes near the Ben-Yam.
It's been clear from the last from the match lesson around when he talks about the case of the Basmian, that it's that the shadow that she keeps us and her husband is because it has something to do with her and her husband, and to do with her age.
No, what's Basmian? No, Basmian means that sort of condition they're abundant.
Right. That's Shaka's relationship with her husband, only a relationship to her abundant, but yeah. That's why she's not us, that's why she's not us her husband.
Because the Chum didn't ask her, didn't want to invoke this din of a Sula Bailer, it's only a condition they're abundant.
Is it possible at all that she would say she wouldn't want her to do it?
Okay, we'll get to the second. So again, so according to the Rambam, it doesn't make such difficulty conceptually. We could understand why she's a Surah Lamayah, because she's more well off the Bible, even though she's Klapish Mayagalia, she's really a Lapa Sonja. But there's a very, very serious problem with the Shita Sanam. You know, what's the problem? What's the bomb problem with the Shita Sanam?
She's allowed to ask, and that doesn't answer for her either. That doesn't. I mean, that might work for Isha, but for Tana, that the Maris.
No. So you have a little 10-year-old girl. So the 10-year-old girl, the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold her responsible, but she's in terms of Chapei Shmaya, she's allowed to ask. But in terms of understanding that a husband
she's
wants, so that's considered to be an understanding. You don't need a bar das, but that's the halachic term. You don't need a bar das. As long as she does, let's say, if she's 3 years old and she doesn't know anything, even the Ram would agree that's a shreita gemura. It's mamish nami. But she's 11 years old, so she understands she's supposed to be with her husband, not with anybody else. So the stomach that's considered to be enough of a bas das when you don't need a halachic bas das. What's the problem? What's the bond problem? Going to the Ram, you have this wild scenario. Let's say the husband is married to an 11-year-old girl. And he doesn't think she's with somebody else, so he gives her kinoin. She violates his kinoin, she does stira. She becomes a what? She becomes a sota. Happens to be she can't drink. You have to be the girl who wrote the drinks. She's going to have to be yotzei b'bayla. Right? But she became a sota. According to Rashi and Tavis, we've asked Peter Ketana Einus, can you have a Ketana being a sota? It's a non-entity, right? Because even if Zalzana, that she was Mazana, she's going to be muteris. Unless you say like some of that crazy, you know, the wild stuff we said before, the base of labor, but not for that. So, according to the Rambam is a favor, she's going to have a woman who's a little girl under the age of 12 becoming a sota. Why does that bother us? Why is that difficult to understand? What does the Gemara say? Why don't the klolam in terms of suffix tum and b'shus ayachim? In order to be suffix tum and l'chumra, it has to be b'shus ayachim, or else does it have to be? Yesh Badas the Shah. Yesh Badas the Shah means that the person who is potentially becoming Tamei has to be somebody who you could question, someone who could respond to your questions intelligently. Yesh Badas the Shah has to be a Bar Das. Let's say it's not a Shiloh on a person, it's a Shiloh on food. Let's say you have, there's a dead mouse and there's a piece of bread, and you're not sure whether the piece of bread fell onto the mouse or not. So you turn around to the bread and he asks, Mr. Bread, did you fall onto the mouse? And the bread looks at you and doesn't answer. The bread is intended to be alive. Able das the shah. So something which is able das the shah is not subject to the dinim of suffik to mishus yachad. Therefore, what do you do with this piece of bread? If the klal of suffik to mishus yachad don't apply, what klal do you apply? Right, Mati, it's not anarchy. What do? You throw out the klal of suffik to when you go back to the klal of klal taragula. So what is the klal of klal taragula? You have the suffik where the bread became tamei. What do? So send this as suffik deraisa l'chomer. What do I say? What's the thing? You have a piece of bread. You're not sure to become tamei or not. What's the thing? Something the rice l'chumra. Who votes for something the rice l'chumra? Bad vote. Who fastens that the bread is mukta? Why is the bread tohar? No, a piece of bread. Not sure what it became. Tell me now. What's the din? Not for the din of something we should say of it. It's simple. Elementary. It's a piece of bread. The chesed is tara. Of course it's mukta, right? Of course it's tohar. Okay. Something too b'shus ayachin is a chiddush atar that even though you have a cheskes tara, you still become tamei. All right, but let's say the dinim of suffik tumah don't apply. So immediately apply for the cheskes tara. So that's what the Gemara says, that we have a davish ein bodas d'shah, which is not dumi d'soita. Soita is an example of yesh bodas d'shah. So since the zeros across the dumi d'soita doesn't apply with ein bodas d'shah, we may look dein b'shus ayachin, and b'shus ayachin is sveik otoha. So now, Abba Zoya, according to the Rambam Shita, that you can have who? You can have a little 11-year-old girl being coming a sota. I don't understand. Is an 11-year-old girl a yesh bodas d'shah or ein bodas d'shah? So the Gemara says that a katan, who's a suffik became tamei, a suffik didn't become tamei, is tahar even in Rosh Hashayachir. Why? No. Because a katan is an ein bodas d'shah. So a katan is like the equivalent to the piece of bread. So if you have a suffik, whether the kid became tamei or not, so he's going to be taught even in Rosh Hashayachir. So now we have the multi-million dollar, trillion-dollar question against the Rambam. And what is it? How could the halacha be if you have an 11-year-old girl who had kili and stira, so the Rambam passed it overdone, finishes a surah outside? That doesn't make any sense. Because after all, it's only a suffik whether she became tamei or not. And in order for the gzeiras hakasa of tumah to set in, there has to be yesh bodas d'shah, and the 11-year-old girl is ein bodas d'shah, so every saita should be muteris, because what does she have on her side? Every woman becomes a saita. What does she have on her side? She has a cheskes tar, she has a cheskes heter. It's only the gzeres hakosav of saita that suffik tumah shesayachin that rules it for her. But if you're under the age of bar bas mitzvah, where that gzeres hakosav doesn't apply to you because you're like a piece of bread, ein bodas d'shah, you should blight the cheskes heter. So who has this kasha? The Rambam? Everybody, the entire world. When you read this Rambam, you didn't realize this kasha? When you saw that the Rambam says that Peter Khan is lav oinus, so the first warning bell should have gone off in your mind is, hey, Peter Khan is lav oinus, that means the Rambam holds you can have a little kid becoming a sota. How can that be? It's the ein bodas d'shah. What would you say, Josh? The kasha? What do you say about this kasha in Orlando? Yes, this kasha? Not the burning issue of the day. Okay. Yeah. The no, who's got a terrace in the Rambam?
No, it's that she's going to be married, and she's going against her husband. That's what the sota is actually the key.
No, but how could she be? But it's only a suffix. So, because we don't know whether she was really Mizan. It's a suffix. So suffix is l'chumra. Because of suffix to Rishis Yavid. But if a little girl is not subject to the clone of suffix to Rishis Yavid,
she was going against her.
That's true, but that would be if we knew for a fact that she was Mizan, but we don't know. So suffix should be suffix with who? Because she has a Zephyr.
Can the adulterer count as the Bardas?
You throw that yourself?
Yes.
Which Gemara? Shuruf. Neither. Gemara neither. Comes the Sheikh Shemaitza and says, what's lacking in the girl is made up by the Boaz. Says the Sheikh Shemaitza, the Gemara has a klal of Nita Nafhevi Beis, that a shrewd halacha is that normally to be kaveya whether something is the yesh without the show or not, you ask the dovar chefs that would be done on. But let's say you have a situation where you have a piece of bread, and I'm not sure, we're not sure whether I as a person who's the yesh without the show, I'm over by mitzvah, whether I took the mouse and dropped it on the bread or not. So comes the Gemara and says, we should have paskened that the bread is able to ask the shal. So Svek Patohar, Kamash Varon, that since there was a gavra who was in the Talmud, there was a person who was actively bringing the Tumah in, and that person who was actively bringing the Tumah in is the Yesh Podas the shal. Guess what? That's also called Yesh Podas the shal. It's a Chiddush of the Gemara, the family base, Yerchman's Chiddush. When do you say that something is able to ask the show? You have a piece of sherets and a piece of bread, and you see that the sherets fell by itself near the bread. You're not sure. Did it touch the bread? Did it roll off? Did it miss the bread? You're not sure. So the bread is able to ask the show, and the sherets is able to ask the show. So the Nela, the whole bit of Seder doesn't apply, so you have to say Safik, the Fakula, the Chesfis Tara. But if either the Dover HaNitma is a Yesh Podas the show, or there's an active player in the state of Tuma, which is also either or, then the site is sets in. So Yoni says Givaldik, Bachan the Shesh Mind is Kasha. The true Inochinami, according to the Rambam, the 11-year-old girl is in Badas the Shoel, but the Gav is Yeshwa's as the Shoel. You Bachan to the Teretz of the Shesh Mind. Now we Bachan to the next Kasha of the Shesh Mind.
I'm here to ask.
No, you don't really have to be here to ask. You have to just... I don't know if the din of Yesh Podas HaShoel, you have to really have that bonus and base there. I think it's just steps out. Sheer.
Maybe by the case with the bird, it's impossible to ask the bird, but here with the girl, it would be possible just for a technicality since she's not a
kid. Better or worse. I want you to ask the cash on the Sheish Mind since steps.
Right.
In this case, the guy can make the sota.
Yeah. No, think of some of the shoe we spoke about last semester. According to this, the only way that a little girl in Yesh Bas Mitzvah can become a site according to the Rambam is only because of the boil, because the Yesh Bodas the show, I got a cash of you. Let's say the boil is 10 years old. What's the din? Is there a din soita? By a katan, like his remember Taisus and the Rambam, but everyone agrees. Either according to Rambam, happens to be above the age of 9, and even according to Taisus, you need to exert a kasa through the mic. Ish prat le katan, right? Remember from last semester, right? Regular. Okay, but there could theoretically be a hekatimsa of having a saita with the girls under the age of 12 and the boys under the age of 13. According to the Torah. No, the Gemara definitely talks about the issue of the bowl being potentially cut and also. Okay, the Rambam sheet happens to be that you really can have above the age of 9, that there will be a nisa. So comes the Sheish Mitz and asks himself, putting this whole package together, according to me, who says that the only reason why a site of Katan is considered to be a site is only because of the boel, and if you turn around and give me the hekatimsa with the boels of cotton also, so someone should have made point of this, someone before the year 1800, someone should have made a point, the Rambam should have made the point somewhere to say, the Gemara should have said, yeah, guess what, when you have a cotton who's the boel, and a katana who's the potential novellas, hukhasoita can't apply, because any bahem das the shur, and throws the Sheish Mitz his hands up, and says, nobody said this. I'm saying this, says the Sheish Mitz. But all the other Achronim said, what? The Rambam should have said, the Rambam writes you can have a soita when the girl's a katana. And the Rambam says you can have a soita when the man's a katana. So shouldn't the Rambam bother to tell us, and by the way, if they happen to be a katana and a katana together, you can't have a little soita because it's Abram Das the show. The Rambam never bothered to tell us that. So that's a little bit of a thing. So the Sheikh Shmait is talking about, it's a different Rosh Sheikh Shmait. We're still tzorach here a little bit on the Shita Sinra. Anyone sensing a pattern that's starting to develop in our Shia? We talked today, the last 20 minutes, about two totally different topics. We talked about our Sugya, where the Gemara talks about the issues of Sveika, and the Gemara leaves out the Kolam of Safek Tum B'Shesayachim. And we had a Shita Mekubetz, with a Sheikh Shmait, with a different Mahalach. And somehow, the annoying problem as Sugya was that somehow the Gemara is differentiating between Soita and Safek Tum B'Shesayachim. And that bothers us. That eats away at us. Why? Because the whole Mokar Safek Tum is from Soita. And here, in the place we would have most expected the Gemara to apply the rules of Safek Tumma, the Gemara conveniently left them out. Right? That was the basic problem that we had in the first part of our sugya. So we have a teretz sheet. They gave his teretz and a shvayt, said his teretz, and everyone gave a very nice teretz. But tachlis, at the end of the day, you'll say, right, we're still bothered, right? At the place that we would have wanted the Gemara to say it, the Gemara didn't say it. Okay. So tzarchi, we put it on the back burner, that equation that we thought, which was chutliyav, alachamash mesinai, sota, and tumma, the Gemara is ignoring. Then we come to our Rambam. But the Rambam also seems to, in effect, ignore it. Because the Rambam is setting up a scenario where Sota can apply, where the rules of Safek Tumma really fall short, because the issue of Dabar Shevel Das the Shor. So we got two strikes against us. We have two. We have the Gemara, we have a Rambam. The Tzenna seems to be drawing a wedge between Safek Tumma and Sota, which should leave a scratch in our heads, because after all, Safek Tumma is derived from Sota. So you got to scratch your heads over the whole weekend. Okay? To try to figure out, someone can come up with this idea, maybe someone wants to speak about this, at the tish. I told you we're having a very little shetish this week, so whoever wants to talk about very very cold and dry topics, they can talk. So anyway, think about this a little bit. This notion that the Gemara seems, and the Gemara and the Rambam seem to be separated between the two. Okay, we'll stop now. We'll get the Chumash today, hopefully over the week we'll have enough time to say some great little